Time now to hear from Coach Jimbo Fisher on your home for the Aggies.
Home for the Aggies.
ESPN 97.5. Presented by Jack's Grill. Here's John Lance and Coach Jimbo Fisher. Get up.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, your home for the Aggies. Brought to you by Jack's Grill. The coach joins us every Tuesday morning right here, 7:15. Coach, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Did you watch the football this weekend?
A little bit of it, yes, I did.
Did you get to see the LSU-Alabama game?
Yeah, I did. I did get to watch it.
What'd you think?
Well, I mean, I thought you had two excellent teams, and Alabama made some critical mistakes early that they couldn't overcome.
Yeah.
And LSU played very mature, and then were very strong, you know, made two critical drives in the fourth quarter, very impressive when they had to on the road. And then it was a good deal. You know, I mean, that was a heck of a football game, heck of a way for Alabama to come back.
It was, and I think when you look at the, you know, I think to me one of the most fascinating things, well, number one is that there's a lot of guys that are pretty good at skill positions for LSU. People don't talk about, I know Burrow gets all the love, and he should.
Oh, yeah.
But Edwards-Helaire is a really tough running back.
Chase Jefferson.
Chase is an unbelievable talent at wide receiver. Moss,
yeah,
at tight end, gives them a dimension. They, you know, Frank Moreau was okay. They've had some decent tight ends, but I mean, this guy gives you a little different dimension. I mean, the skill position at LSU is it always has been pretty good. This time it's good at the quarterback.
So when you know you got them coming up, Coach, you watching that going, eh, yikes. Ugh.
Well, yeah, I mean, their skill positions are really good at quarterback, and they're in a groove. They're playing well. They have that chemistry and that confidence right now that you can see it when they play and made plays when they had to make them. It was an impressive deal. I mean, it really was. And then, like I say, two very good football teams, and one heck of a football game.
Do we watch it different than you because you got them coming up? Are you watching it with an eye towards, okay, how are we going to stop that? What are we going to take in note? What, you know, how do you watch that game?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're aware of the playmakers and things. You try to, you know, sometimes I like to enjoy a game. But you know, as a coach, you know that. You always, you know, what are they doing there on defense? What are they doing on offense? And sometimes, you know, and then sometimes, they, hey, yes, would you enjoy the game? But, you know, if you don't. You don't ever look at it that way. It's the way you always watch film of the coach, like you say. But they're an impressive team, and they're playing very well. And they know that was great for college football and great for the SEC. I know that.
It'll be interesting to see what the committee does, Coach, because I think there's probably some Alabama. I know I'm tired of Alabama. So being up there, and it'll be interesting to see where they put Alabama now with this one loss and LSU in the driver's seat for the SEC championship game.
It will, but yeah, remember, there's still a lot of football left to go now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of football left to go and where you're at. And you know, I've been in that situation when we were on a team one year that didn't, thought we were just barely out. And hey, all we said to our guys, hey, just line up and play. And everything will happen. All of a sudden, things that you can't control, and that's what all those guys got to do. They just got to go play football and see where it all falls.
You know, I want to ask you your background as an offensive coach, you're the head coach right now. Do you how involved are you getting the defensive game planning? Because you got to find ways to disrupt their quarterback at LSU. That's the big thing. Is in Alabama sent different blitzes, and he just handled it with great poise. Do you get involved with game planning and any of the install at all on the defensive side, or is that?
Yeah, I talk about how we're doing it. I think we get effective. We have blitzes, and we share ideas back and forth. Offense, defense, they'll bring that. Like, we're trying to get this.
Right.
Okay. If we're trying to get these blitzes, how would this affect you in protection? Here's what they do, blah, blah, blah. You know, you constantly use the other guys as a sounding board because you know what that side looks for. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And how you go at it. You know, and that was an interesting thing in that game that was very interesting. Alabama came with some blitzes, but not tons of blitzes. They covered with four a lot, and that was a very interesting thing they did in that game. I mean, rushed with four a lot. That was interesting when they gave it down.
Yeah, I always thought, you know, the offensive mind, you guys watch defenses all the time, so you know what is awfully difficult. So I would think as an offensive coach, you could certainly help and say, yeah, that's going to be tough for them to beat.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, that twist, that game, that the way you're bringing that pressure, the way you're hiding it, you know what I mean? They wouldn't think that. You know, we constantly do that is. The coaches and you know, always kind of, you know, you bounce the ideas off the other guys on your staff.
Yeah. Well, and there's certain guys, and it's not all about, like, there's certain guys, if you're evaluating each player up front, each offensive lineman, if you got one that's slow laterally, then all of a sudden you can dial up a twist and then a blitz behind it where you know he can't slide back into position. you can find weaknesses and areas of concern on the offensive line with an individual player that you might be able to exploit too. I just find it always interesting, the game planning that goes in the chess match that's happening like on Tuesdays.
Yep.
On Tuesdays, a big part. Is that when your install is, on Tuesday or Wednesday?
No, we have both. We have Tuesday and Wednesday install. I mean, you'll have, you know, it'd be first down, your first and 10, your second long and your short yardage goal line situation. Then third down's a lot of your, third down red zone and things like that are on Wednesday.
Jimbo Fisher with us on ESPN 97.5. How did South Carolina beat Georgia?
Played very physical up front, contested throws, got turnovers, created three picks in the secondary, and they did it with a lot of pressures up front, caused some havoc in them. They didn't give up the big runs. We're able to score on defense. They scored. They had a pick six on defense in that game. They got them back. They played tremendous defense, and their passing. I mean, Georgia wasn't missing time on passing game and things like that. They had a low scoring game, and they played well. They took care of the football and created three turnovers the other way. Played very physical up front. Their front's a very good front. South Carolina's up front. They're across the board. You know, he knows about three and the big guy, but they have, you know, a bunch of guys up there that I think are really good football players. They have a really good front, one of the best fronts. Linebackers are solid, long, athletic guys in the secondary.
You know, that's funny, Coach. I was talking to a coach before that was in another league, and then he gets to the SEC, and he says, you know, of course you know Alabama and LSU, they're going to have big fronts, and you know. But then you get to Vanderbilt, and you go to South Carolina, and you're like, my goodness, they're big. They're as big or bigger. Every front in the SEC seems to be just giant.
I always say that. The difference in the league, I mean, everybody, our skill guys are tremendous. Don't get me wrong. You look at that receiving corps of Alabama and LSU, and so we have a good one there. Other people have great ones. I mean, there's a lot of playmakers across the board. But the front guys, I mean, they're NFL bodies. I mean, the length, the size, and then under that, the athleticism, the first. I mean, they can change direction. They can dictate game. Auburn's front is so dominant and big. And, I mean, you have so many guys that can change. And every week you go in, and that's why I say the physicality of that pounding and just blocking those guys and that grind, it is tough now. That's the big difference in this league.
Coach, let's talk. I want to talk for a second about Isaiah Spiller. You have really, over the last three games, you've really depended on him much more from a running standpoint. Just put the ball in his hands and said, "Let's see what you can do, big boy." And it's starting to bear some fruit. Where are you with that ability to win up front? And give us your thoughts on where Spiller is right now as a back versus earlier in the season.
Well, I think he's understanding the grind and the physicality and the toughness it takes to run in this league. That the wear and tear it takes on your body and the mindset you have to get going in. He didn't know he didn't know when early. I mean, it's tough. Like you say, I'm playing against all those guys. Those guys attacking, they're stripping the ball, they're hitting it. I mean, what it takes to get ready and how you got to practice to be ready to go. And, you know, he's the second half of the year, that freshman played so many games, they become starting to really become sophomores. And you can see it with him. And there's still a lot of development for him to go. And I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm saying that I'm very encouraged because he has a lot of ability, he has great size, he has all the tools and things you have to have. He just keeps getting better and better, and we're growing up front. We're learning to be more consistent, and the runs where we're hitting things, you know, the angles, and we're seeing the holes, and we're just getting better, and hopefully we'll continue. We'll need these last three, that's for sure.
Well, you harp on turnovers every week. We know how important it is to you. It probably didn't help that he had three straight games with lost fumbles. That's something that will get you in the doghouse. And yet, after those three games, you came back with 16, 22, and 20 carries for him. So he's got to take care of the football, but also that showed a little confidence in the young runner.
Well, you got to. Listen, those guys, we forget. And guys don't make mistakes when they're young. You got to understand that as a coach. No, sometimes they don't always, but they do. That doesn't mean they're bad players. They got to learn. And they got to learn in the fire, and you can't go away from it. I mean, you did that to every player you had. You wouldn't have many. You would play as sophomores and juniors. You know, you do that. That's all part of it. Unfortunately, he was put in a situation where he was being asked to carry too big a role sometimes early, and he really should have been because of just the injury situation. That's what we were in, and he's handled it very well, and he's grown from it. He hadn't lost confidence from it, and we didn't lose confidence in him, and you know, he's getting better and better. He has a chance to be a really, really good football player.
You've Jimbo Fisher with us here. You're home for Aggie football, ESPN 97.5. You've used a lot of freshmen, but how have you kept any back now? We're heading towards the end of the season where you can just get them for four games and they'll still have their red shirt?
Yeah, there's a couple guys in that mode now that are getting better. That you know, you could go in and get some reps, maybe on special teams, or maybe take reps on offense or defense in and out of here that we're feeling more comfortable with. And as injuries and attrition comes, they've been practicing with the upper group, you know, more, and you know, you're starting to feel comfortable with some of those guys. Yes, there could be some of that.
There's going to be some of that. Is that how you go about, or do you like to see guys early on? How do you go about that redshirt thing?
Well, no, I mean, you can play and you can help, but you got to play, because in today's time, the numbers and the attrition and the way transfers happen, injuries happen, you got to get as many guys ready to play as you can. And if you think they have any ability to do it, and even if it's later in the season, you keep working with them and staying with them. And then if it happens, it happens. It doesn't. But you got to be prepared for the unexpected and all the things that happen during the season. So we try to get as many of them ready to play and then make it to where they, you know, we either don't need them to play because of depth, or it's just, you know, they're just not quite ready physically or psychologically. And that doesn't mean they're going to be bad players. They can be great players. But we try to get them as ready as quick as possible.
And this was a weird you having three seniors. I mean, you've never had that before.
No, I never have. I mean, and that's, you know, and those guys have done a good job. But, you know, it puts you in a position where you have to play a lot of guys.
Absolutely, but it'll get better next. That as you move forward, that obviously is not gonna be the case anymore.
That's crazy to me that you could have not play a guy all year,
yeah,
and then have him play in what
are the biggest games?
Are some of the biggest games, and then you see the kid next year; he's a redshirt freshman. Right. That's just, I was not used to seeing it operate like that. I think it's kind of cool that you can do that, because you get to develop them along the way all year long.
You like that rule, Coach, the four game rule?
I do, because there's just too many things, too many injuries, injury bugs that hit, and then you do get a guy, not get a guy. I think it's a really good rule, and I think it gives them some experience and helps in the players' development. It's how they've been out there before.
Yep. Jimbo Fisher, every week right here on ESPN 97.5 South Carolina at Kyle Field. On Saturday night. Man, it's good stuff, Coach. As always, we appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right, thank you.
Good luck, Coach. All right, we'll see you.
There's Jimbo Fisher.